From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. My guest today is the guitarist Shane Parrish. For the past 20 years, Shane's primarily been known, probably, as a member of the rock duo known as Aluchatistas, a group that mixes all kinds of experimental forms of rock music, instrumental rock music. But Shane has also had a notable solo career, much of it revolving around the electric guitar, although a couple of years ago, he dipped into the folk music world with an acoustic album called Undertaker, Please Drive Slow. This set him off on a journey of acoustic explorations of folk songs. Now with his new album, Liverpool, he returns to the electric guitar, but he's still mining the world of folk music, and specifically here, Songs of the Sea. Shane Parrish is going to perform some of these songs live, solo, beginning with a version of Black Eyed Susan. Thank you. That's Black Eyed Susan, live performance by guitarist Shane Parrish from his new album called Liverpool, which is a collection, Shane, of sea shanties, songs of the sea and the people who fare it. How did this, what's your connection to this music?
You know, I grew up in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, not far from the ocean. And I feel like there's a certain attraction and magnetism there. I think that's where it starts for me. I think that, and when I go to the ocean, I feel that mystery.
I'm wondering if maybe this had something to do with your multi-volume collection called Fireside Book of Folk Songs, because of course all of these they're a very specific kind of folk song. But I wonder if that bigger project of folk material kind of led you into this very specific kind of subset.
Right. Yeah. So there were definitely sea songs involved in that collection that I learned and interpreted on the acoustic guitar, and I think that definitely my turn towards folk music around like 2015, 2016 with the Undertaker Please Drive Slow record,
right.
That definitely had something to do with it. Perhaps a bit more esoteric and at the same time specific would be this. So my wife and I do a podcast called Is There an Echo in Here? A podcast about Echo and the Bunnymen. And we have done 31 episodes so far. And we've even interviewed Will Sargent from the band Echo and the Bunnymen. And our second episode ever was this whole like history of like sea shanties from Liverpool. And kind of weird because the podcast is centered around Echo and the Bunnymen. But then that becomes the point of departure for like history of Liverpool, you know, like a podcast should, right? Like you're going to just like unearth and investigate every sort of like esoteric kind of piece of information about this place and time. And, you know, it goes all over the place. So that kind of launched me into this idea of like going much deeper into sea shanty repertoire. It was like to make that episode, and I got sort of obsessed with it through that
wow.
process. Yeah, and then
so yeah. I didn't realize Echo and the Bunnymen were from Liverpool specifically.
Oh yeah,
that's a fairly tenuous relationship. They're from Liverpool. The song Liverpool is from Liverpool.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, there must have been something. there's something about sea shanties and sea songs in particular.
Yes.
Well, almost by definition, songs of the sea are songs of people who are away from the people they love.
Right.
And whether they're working or telling each other stories below decks at night, there's a kind of longing quality to right. a lot of these songs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think I tend to choose things that are a bit heavier, you know, in terms of the feel, like, you know, I'm kind of goth in my, in my aesthetic. So, you know, I tend to try to things that resonate with a bit of like bittersweetness or, you know, there's like a sadness to them. So that, you know, are the things I tend to want to, portray musically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the version you did of Black Eyed Susan, I mean, you know, there's some looping involved. I mean, there's a laptop behind you. Is that where the click is coming from that we were hearing there?
No, the laptop was just like recording the audio.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The click was like just tapping the strings on the guitar, like muted strings. So I was, you know, I started with that groove and it's in a like drop C tuning, you know, on the guitar. And then I was, and then just accenting beats like 2 and 3. So I was thinking of it as like a snare drum. And on the album, actually, in the second half of the song, Michael Libramento, who's the percussionist on about half of the record, you know, he put the snare drum comes in on that click. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the click is just the strings. Yeah.
All right. But the next song you're going to do, Haul Away Joe, for this one, you know, first of all, you state the theme right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using the Ebo,
right.
which is a magnet that produces a kind of sustained sound, almost like a violin being bowed.
Mm-hmm.
More looping here, I'm guessing. On the record, your arrangement of Haul Away Joe on the record reminded me a little of Robert Fripp and the Frippertronics.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, where, was that an influence at all?
Yeah, I would have to say that he's a huge influence, early influence, and just continues to be an inspiration. So there's sort of like no denying that sound is just so Frippy, you know, when you listen
yeah.
to like, if you listen to like it's hard to escape that, you know, although I think I tend to play it a bit more tonally, than him, you know, like when I like the kind of lines I tend to gravitate towards are kind of more pentatonic and, you know, like, not as, dissonant, but yeah. So yeah, there's a Frippy element to that.
Let's. This is actually one of my favorite tracks on the record. The album is called Liverpool. It is out tomorrow, Friday, March 4th. Shane Parrish is playing some songs for us. This one's called Haul Away Joe. Thank you. That is Holloway Joe. It's a live solo performance by Shane Parrish. Electric guitar, some looping, the various pedals. It's all you, Shane, but for folks who watch the video of that performance, the show is nearly stolen by a small dog. Who is that?
That's Josephine, my chihuahua. She's a sweet girl. And, yep.
She seemed a little excited at the beginning of the song, kind of settled down as the playing went along.
Yeah. She's my little lap dog. She's my familiar.
The second half of that piece, you know, you get into some kind of distorted, fuzzed out guitar sounds, quite different from the kind of stripped down acoustic versions of folk material that you were talking about earlier. That was kind of your first step into this world.
Right.
So, you know, are we back into the world of you experimenting with the guitar as a machine to see how far you can push the envelope and what the instrument will do under duress?
Under duress. Yeah. I think, you know, the record started out when this project happened in stages and really took, you know, I put a lot of time into considering what I was going to do. But at first, it was an acoustic record. And I made very elaborate acoustic guitar arrangements of all of these songs that are on the record. And I was practicing them. And then I was going to do a live stream concert with Michael Liebermano, who plays drums on this song on the record, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized that these acoustic arrangements do not work on the electric guitar with a drummer because of the way the instrument sustains and, you know, all the intricacies lost, it just doesn't groove. I can't replay rubato. I can't slow down, speed up. And so after one rehearsal with him, I went home and I spent like 2 days where I spent probably 8 to 10 hours a day, like rearranging all the tunes on the record for electric guitar and kind of getting at the essence of what I arranged for the acoustic and brought it back to rehearsal. And then they worked with the drums, and so that's kind of how I ended up making an electric record. Very 11th hour, very surprising to the record label, who agreed to do an acoustic, who agreed to do Dear Life Records, agreed to do an acoustic record, and I said, called them like 3 weeks before the session. I was like, listen, this record's going to be totally different than we talked about, and they were like, we trust you, man, and that's, you know, to have trust is key, right, when you're creating. So yeah.
So those original acoustic arrangements, were they for a single guitar with looping and stuff, or were they multiple acoustic guitars?
It was one acoustic guitar. So, you know, just like using like counterpoint and finger style to like, you know, so like just try and, you know, do the impossible if I could, or just, you know, see how far I could push it. Maybe I'll record those at some point, but they became quite labor intensive. And I think I learned a lot. I think I've learned a lot about the limits of what, in the last several years, I'm starting to realize that maybe like, I don't like, where am I wasting time, like pushing so hard and what the guitar can do, and how can I just kind of use the tools I have? I think I've always been in a process of like outstripping myself and trying to write things that were beyond reach in order, and then reaching them. And that's the new level, and I'm like hitting a limit.
Mm-hmm. You know, the album you did just recently called Autodidact.
Yeah.
All of those titles are, the title is the minutia of the tuning and the preparations on each string and
right.
You know, what the basic detail of the instrument was before you played the song.
Yeah.
So that kind of pushing at the edge, I mean, that's something that, I mean, that whole album seems to be about that. Are you autodidact? Are you self-taught?
Yes. But I'll qualify that with, I did take a few semesters in college and some music classes. And I took about half a dozen lessons with a guitar guru named Freddie Bryant. who really helped me like kind of dial in some technical and theoretical things on the guitar. But that was like in my 30s, because now I'm 44, but he really like helped me. But yeah, so other than that, yeah, I'm self-driven, self-taught musician. And the idea with the Autodidact record was to change the instrument gradually into something different and have to relearn it in real time and capture all those are first takes, you know, right. To like, kind of like, oh, I'm learning this new environment. And so.
Now, when you play these pieces, these performances you're doing for us today, for example, how different, how repeatable, I guess I'll put it, how repeatable an experience are these arrangements?
Yeah. They're organic, you know? So I think like, for example, the first half of Black Eyed Susan is pretty rigidly worked out, right? But then the second half of it, because there's these, I play a fragment of the melody and then I do a response. There's a call and response structure to the first half of the song. And it's like, I play a fragment of the melody and then I play some almost like kind of, you know, arpeggiated response to it, an ornamented mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then the second half of the song is just kind of the groove sets in, and then I just restate the melody over and over again. And the looseness on that song would be kind of in how I phrase the melody. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think Thelonious Monk said this. I can't quite nail the like the source on this, but that they came for the melody. And someone should write in and tell us if that's a Monk quote. But I like the idea of that because I'm not so interested in like soloing, like taking a guitar solo mm-hmm. as I am rephrasing a melody over and over again, doing variations on it, you know, and like subtle nuances of articulation. And so that's going to be different every time, you know? Okay. Right. Yeah. And I think with the same with like Holloway Joe, it's like, that bass line is going to sound the same every time, you know, that do, do, do,
right.
do,
that,
do, do,
that sounded
you know.
Pretty similar to the record, to my ears.
Yeah, but the Ebow lines are going to be always like subtly different. I have this idea of like counterpoint, like this melodic counterpoint where it's like not like proper counterpoint per se, but like where you have two melodies, well, the same melody played twice, almost like where Steve Reich would, you know, it would like phase yes. out, you know, but, yeah. but, I'm not so precise as that. So it's like, I'm going to like play the melody, then I'm going to play it again somewhere against that. And then like new melody emerges, you know, new ideas emerge. So that's always going to be in like a state of flux in terms of
right.
like difference. Yeah.
So in Holloway Joe, you know, you state the theme right up front. It begins to loop. You've got two or three iterations of the melody going.
Right.
And as those loops play behind you, as you continue to play above it, you know, after a minute, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not hearing the melody anymore because the counterpoint has moved,
right.
sort of, you know, and it's yeah, just, it's different.
Yeah, it changes. And you have like a kind of a, you're an observer at that point. As the, me as the performer, I'm delighted by this thing, but it's like, it's in this minor scale. There's no, you can do no wrong, right? So I'm not like, as far as like how it's going to like happen, you can trust right. that like any combination of notes in that tonality are going to like sound beautiful to our ears. But the bass line actually on that song is also literally just the melody, right? Like,
right.
like octaves down. Like, so that's another layer of the counterpoint then. It's like, that song is literally just like, three layers of the melody, and then like some noise enters the picture, you know, and it kind of yeah, just yeah. get distorted. I got to take it somewhere. I was trying to figure out how to do that on the record.
the album is called Liverpool, and while a lot of the songs, Shane, are sort of British Isles in origin, like Liverpool, Holloway Joe, Rio Grande suggests something from our own side of the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. How did you make these decisions of which tunes to do?
I listened to, you know, different recordings, and the Rio Grande, so that record, that was actually, okay, so that record was a huge, like, turn for me towards loving sea shanties, which, you know, I don't claim to be, like, a scholar or anything like that. Yeah. I'm very much within, like, I'm not a musicologist. I'm just like, you know, so, and I don't want to be. I actually wanted to just be a person in within history who like just plays the guitar. But I got into that record. To segue how I got into that record was reading Bob Dylan's Chronicles Volume 1. Mm-hmm. And through that book, I made note of all the music that he mentioned, and I learned about that record and many other things. That's how I got into, like, I think maybe John Jacob Niles and different artists. And so yeah, I just kind of became obsessed with that album, and so I do a few songs from that record, like Santiano. I just love, like, that minor melody. It's just really evocative. So I just listen to a lot of music, and it's just a feeling. You get a fuzzy, right? That's like the aesthetic experience, right? I get a tingle, and if it gives me a tingle, I say, oh, I should try to play this, because I'm getting like a feeling here. Yeah, it's very just intuitive, kind of.
All right, well, let's hear a live performance from Shane Parrish on the guitar with the foot pedals and the looping, and a performance of the song Rio Grande. Thank you. That's Rio Grande, another live performance by my guest Shane Parrish. These pieces that he's been playing for us, all from the album called Liverpool. So, Shane, as we've been discussing, this is something that, you know, seems like a natural progression, next step from some of the folk-based things you've been doing in recent years. Mm-hmm. Have you... I sort of know how you work. I suspect I know the answer to this question. Have you already started down the road towards your next project?
Yes.
I figured that would be the answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm wrapping up a new Luchtistas album.
I was wondering how the band was doing.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you guys were probably apart during the pandemic.
Yeah, we're actually still apart in a way because it's a new lineup. It's a new trio. So this would be like Mark III version of the band. And so the new version of the band that will put an album out this year has a drummer named Danny Pichocki and a bass player named Trevor Dunn, who you might be familiar with.
Sure,
He's done for Mr. Bungle and works with, you know, John Zorn quite a bit, and so we're wrapping that record up, and it's going to be released on Trevor's record label.
All right. So new Luchtistas. What about solo stuff? What are you occupying your time with these days?
I'm still chasing the singer songwriter dream that's been sort of under wraps forever, and so I have about 15 songs that I was performing before the pandemic. I started doing a lot of gigs, singing. I'd only been singing publicly for about a year and a half once the pandemic hit. And it's something, because I'd always played instrumental music and never thought I could actually sing, but I started to kind of break through and feel comfortable with that. And so I'm hoping to record a singer-songwriter record. And then I do also have some like instrumental, like folk things I'm still, working towards. And
well, and as we've learned with Liverpool, you may not know what the final outcome of some of these projects will be, because it may change very far down the road,
That's true.
This one did.
That's true. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think Liverpool's a terrific set of songs, and Shane, always a pleasure to talk to you and to see you even remotely like this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Check out the videos of these live performances that Shane has done for us. You'll find them on the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here on the website, newsounds.org. That'll wrap up this edition of our Soundcheck podcast series. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. And our video editor is David McLean. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.